Good morning to our listeners in Barbados and beyond. Today is Thursday, 19th July, 2018. I'm your moderator, Lisa Gale, and I'm pleased to be with you until 1 p.m. today. Our producer, Mr. Dennis Johnson. Number to call is 434-1790. Our WhatsApp is 266-IVOB. That would be 266-4862. In my preparations, I pondered what I would focus on today. There's so many issues before us, whether they relate to policy, issues in society, just a change of government, just what are the new types of matters that come before people, and then some of what is going on generally in entrepreneurship land. And I thought I would share my thoughts and hear a bit from you. Only three things come to mind. These primarily are issues relative to entrepreneurship and the attendant ecosystem, what is being done. I know a couple years ago we articulated as a policy for Barbados that, and this was from the social partners, that Barbados would become the entrepreneurship capital by 2020. That was since revised. There's no specific date, but we've done quite a bit in that field, and that work would have been spearheaded by the Barbados Entrepreneurship Foundation. Another matter that is of quite significant importance to me, and that is the matter relating to the youth. We could tackle it from the perspective of education, the issues relating to at-risk youth. There's so many issues that fall under that large five-letter word called youth. And I think we can zoom in a bit on that today. There are a number of matters, a lot of them sometimes coming a little bit, in my view, from the negative side. The youth in the good today, but the youth are really a reflection of the society. What have we taught them? What have we inculcated in them? And the last thing that is of importance to me is the matter relating to management. Not particularly leadership, but the management. And where are we in Barbados? And are we equipping our managers sufficiently to be the best and to assist the assist the employees of the respective organizations, agencies, companies, etc. And those are three matters that I think are of importance. If you put those words together, entrepreneurship, youth, and management, in isolation, I'm sure you may not get a clear picture of the true meaning, but I want to put them in context of Barbados and ask the question, what is our vision? What is our vision as it relates to entrepreneurship? What is our vision as it relates to youth? What is our vision as a country as it relates to management and equipping our leaders, etc.? And we know without vision, people will perish. So that is one. I'll open the phone lines today, and I hope to hear from you. I hope to have an engaging and an enriching session in some form or fashion. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on Brass Tacks?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, my name is William Skinner. I just want to comment briefly here on something about young people.
Yes.
In 1991, I was a candidate for the NDP.
Okay.
Anybody turning to page 23 of the 1991 manifesto of the National Democratic Party, we see a $20 million program to be spent on young people. Establish well-staffed business advisory centers to encourage and facilitate the entry of youth into the world of business. Expand the curriculum of all trade and service courses offered by government agencies to include basic training in business management, marketing, etc. Upgrade and expand the apprenticeship program. Provide startup kits for any person who has graduated from the Stanley Drapman Prescott Polytechnic, the skills training program, and so on. Introduce a scheme whereby employers registered with the scheme will be paid $75 a week for 1 year for every additional person between the age of 17 and 25 who is employed. Provide adequate funding and administrative support for the Barbados Youth Council. Involve youth in local government. Appoint a representative of young men and women to serve in the Senate and on statutory boards. That was in the manifesto of the NDP in 1991. 27 years later, the Barbados Liberal and Democratic Party have no plan for the young people of Barbados. I don't want to take up your time. I'm just defending a manifesto I ran on in 1991. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, sir. My response would be to make a blanket statement and suggest that there's no plan. That's not overly fair. I am aware that there was a youth policy under the Democratic Labour Party, and that would have been enunciated in 2015. I stand corrected, it might have been 2014. A lot of discussion on it in 2014, 2015, and I don't know if it was passed in 2016. But now we also have, as articulated both by the Prime Minister and the Minister of Youth Affairs in this administration, the Barbados Labour Party administration, that they want to create a whole new policy for youth. And a lot of it has relationship with education. It has relationship with the challenges with crime, etc. And I know there was an attempt from successive administrations to address issues of youth, but they can't be just addressed in isolation. Youth, that is a very, and that's why I said, is a big five-letter word, because it captures a lot of issues. Youth employment. Right now we have a very high, I understand it's close to 40%. We have a very high youth unemployment rate. There was a youth entrepreneurship scheme that was set up a couple of years ago to assist with not just school leavers working, but school leavers looking to move into entrepreneurship, etc. So over the years, there have been attempts to address issues relative to youth, and that would be my response. But we do need to have a very comprehensive approach, and we do need to get more hands on deck. We always talk about it takes a village to raise a child, and I fully support and endorse that concept. And I think we are moving away from that village life as we progress as a society, as we become far more developed. We are missing a lot, and that is what is impacting. That's one of the reasons impacting our youth. We go to our next caller. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Yeah. Good morning. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I totally disagree. If that first caller had the late David Thompson lived, and I'm sure that things would have moved on. And with this present prime minister, I'm sure things are gone for young people, because you know they say that all of this used to be among the young people. At the fact, football, wherever, you'll find me among and David Thompson there. And one of the best ways to communicate with people is to be among those people. And they are the only two prime ministers that I know of who always used to be among the young people. So that statement was very, very unfair. This party has just come to office, and you go and get a time. Everything can't be done in one full swoop. And to me, let's keep on saying this, they have done more than the previous administration in a short space of time. So to me, that statement was just politics.
Well, he also added other things. That's how he ended. But he also talked about what resided in the manifesto as it relates to youth.
All the computers offset me from where you understand. Anyway, you have noticed that a Caribbean country, I think it's either Antigua or Barbados, some kind of Caribbean country, are doing what I had suggested about the CV, combating it at sea, dealing it at sea. The truth is, you won't be able to get all, but whatever you catch at sea won't be hitting the shore. Mm. And the longer we have to do something, the worse it's going to become. You need to do something. And not here about taking credit for anything. Dennis Johnson right over that. I just said the sea things being done. And any idea can be expanded.
Mm-hmm.
Any.
Okay.
Right. Now, my next point. Management, especially at Transport Board and more government agencies, is all about very bad management. And I think that when you are involved in transportation, whether you're a minister, general manager, whoever, I feel you should go there in the bus terminal. You should be going on the road. See what goes on. You should go into the communities where you get a lot of complaints about buses. Talk to the people. We have a thing that we only talk to people or respect people in three-piece suits. No man who have never suffered can tell anybody who's suffering where it's to suffer. All they can do is sympathize. You need to go there or have regular meetings with your bus drivers. There's solutions to every problem. Just that it's a last situation, I had suggested a long time ago, the Attorney General should talk to the judges or the magistrates, whoever, expunge everybody's record as far as PSBs is concerned, conductors, drivers, everybody. Get a new beginning. But there's going to be a condition. If they sneeze anywhere, they shouldn't sneeze, they're done. I see nothing wrong with that. Give everybody deserve a second chance. And we, as I said, we always talk about what people do, but we don't ever talk about the causes. I gave one of the causes yesterday on this program. The amount of minibuses and others that are on certain roads. What you're doing, you're creating not only a hostile situation, a very dangerous situation. Dangerous to passengers, dangerous to workers, and it needs to be looked at. I mean, there's solutions.
There are solutions. I take on board specifically your point about getting on the ground, having regular meetings, meeting with the persons. That's important to understand the lay of the land and to also be able to effect the same policy, because oftentimes people create policy with very little research and very little information, and that could also lead to the wrong policy, which in turn would then impact the output. So that's a good suggestion. Anything else?
You saw the back page to this paper?
It depends. I read it online. Which part is the back page? It doesn't come up that way.
Two people fighting in court.
Oh, yes. I heard about that, yes.
But if it was imagined, I'd be telling myself, but if before these doing this in front of me, I can just imagine. But I'm going to say no more about that. But just I hope that the general populace, because we have a habit of saying the young people, I hope people start to learn the word some. There are a lot of positive young people. It's a pity that the media, both printed and visual, do not highlight the positives that young people in this country does. But based on barbarian attitude, they like negativity. So if you like negativity, we can get something to self-papers or whatever. Have a nice day.
Thanks for your contribution. The whole point of persons fighting in court really reflects a number of things. So many things come to mind, but I'll only sit at the point of conflict resolution. It means clearly that they did not, there's no resolution for sure, and that's probably why they're in court. And then secondly, no real regard for persons of high office, etc. And sometimes they may not know. I'm not making an excuse for them, but there are some people who don't care about the environment or be aware that they're in a different type of environment and therefore they're supposed to behave a certain way. Or sometimes they haven't dealt with the anger in such a way. They haven't been able to manage it. So whenever they said, I'm going to deal with this person whenever I see them, and they happen to see them in court, well, that's where the bacchanal occurs. And unfortunately, it is a front, is a back page story, and we are hearing about it. It is something that we can't hide from. We do have a lot of challenges, and it also impacts domestically. We have a lot of domestic violence, which is put under the carpet in this country. And those are a lot of matters that are impacting the same youth. If you grow up and you see all violence, how then do you assess a situation and handle it differently if all you know and all the tools that you've been given would be to shout, to fight, to scream, or to stab? It's very unfortunate, but that's what is a reflection of what people are seeing. And therefore, it's very difficult then for the youth to behave, for some of the youth to behave in a different manner. I'll go to the next caller. This is Don't Brass Stats. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Lisa Gill.
Morning, sir.
Yes. Coming in after Mr. P, and, well, you always giving me something to respond to.
Okay.
I mentioned to a cousin of yours that I like being the apologist for the Democratic Party, you know? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. P mentioned sometime back that there was the richest government, and they have nothing to show. But, and right, the raising more stats is that what you alluded to.
Okay, yes.
Right? That they had the right more. I don't think I know if that is true to say they were the richest government. They weren't the richest. I think ONAFTA had the richest government. Because taxes can keep And that's the reason why the workers, the government workers, remain with a job. So people didn't consider those type of things that they didn't lay off people. They try not to. So that's part of the money, some of the money they're going to pay the workers, you know, and help with little services we had left here in Barbados. But you couldn't take taxes and buy trucks, you know, sanitation trucks. You could pay the sanitation workers, but you can't buy the trucks. You could pay the transport board workers, but you can't buy buses with taxes. You need foreign exchange. And you also need development, you know, like projects to kick off that were curtailed by certain people that was doing it only for political purposes, as we can see now. Right, so some of these statements, Mr. Pete, is not really fair, you know, on the Democratic Party, and they ain't really, they're doing what they're doing best, saying nothing. I ain't know if to think that then one, the reason why they are now completely out of Parliament by keeping silent, have social media there, and they see the Barbados Labour Party making good use of their social media, but the Democratic Party remain stagnant. They need a fresh, they need leadership right now. That's the truth. Because I talked to a friend of mine that he's got these discussions about, you know, politics sometimes, and he's telling me that even smartly, you know, doing, he's talking about things like, you know, the laws that she passing now, right? But what I see, and Mr. P mentioned just now about the youth, two prime ministers were dealing with the youth, Mr. Thompson, the late Mr. Thompson, and now Miss Marley. I wonder if Mr. Thompson is Miss Marley's mentor, because I seen a lot of, you know, imitation of what he did doing, really. You know, I mean, the integrity legislation was something that David Thompson came up with, but it then came true because he passed. I wonder if he did survive, if it was came. And I am very sorry that the Barbados Labour Party, and people need to understand politics. This, it was the, if this is something that they got now on the Democratic Party about corruption, that is a big problem, because this now would be the reason why a lot of things can do if they can't get do because of corruption. Right? I think that this is the only thing now that we got, one of the biggest thing that they've got now to blame the last administration. So if it is possible, let whoever guilty come forward and let me move on and just, because this can be something now to actually excuse why so-and-so, why a feeling here, why this here got to happen, and so on. And to me, it is bare politics. Right?
Mm-hmm.
A man earlier wanted to know, said to Mr. Ellis, about he's sorry that the present prime minister had to come in now. He said that he would have wished that she came in on a good wicket. And that's what people need to understand, that you will show your true leadership skill and ability and strength of character in trying times, not on a good, bad, and wicked, right?
Yeah.
So
that's a truism. The metal of the man, is not when things are good, when things are difficult.
Because to tell you the truth, Lisa Gill, I would have liked to see Mr. Arthur in these times. Right? Because we got Mr. Arthur as the greatest, you know, the greatest, one of the greatest. Some people won't even want to put more than Al Barra, but I don't agree, never agree, right? So I it is a trying time, a time like this, which for sure, your true mental and leadership ability. And the problem, I even tell the caller, my friend that I have this discussion with, that I don't know if Mrs. Stewart was a mistake that the Democratic Labour Party made, because
that's what you feel, or that's what you're feeling?
That is my feeling, right? Because I'm not just somebody that supports the Democratic Labour Party, Lisa. I different than that. It's just like my soul to lose like that and to do what they did. is my soul being hurt, right? I met your cousin. Your cousin is she's a DLP supporter, by the way, and I mean, she's got these political. She's a stronger one than me, though. She's actually what you would call one of the followers, but not really me, right? And she tried to defend them, but I tell her the problem is she even admit that they actually beat themselves. That not really Barbie's their party, right? Beat them, right? And they beat themselves. And
I think a lot of people believe that as well.
Yeah, right. So one of the biggest problems, because what would be so hard to come and have some press conference at some time? I mean,
but the country has been calling for some time. And you,
right.
I remember you in a couple of years gone by defending why they don't need to be constantly speaking to the public. Did you not have that position too?
Me?
Yes, in defending the same Mrs. Short.
Well, I defend him at the first outset because I thought that you don't need to actually be always talking about everything, right? And I thought that sometimes he would come and he actually would hold his press conference.
Okay.
But he didn't really, he actually let me down. I thought that, what, and that's all was necessary, right? Because Miss Marley now coming now to show people now, because I tell my friend earlier that you... All what has happened that the BLP does, they've learned a lot from the Democratic Party, you know. And the Democratic Party, things like evaluated that was the Democratic Labour Party initiative. The DLP do a lot of talking when in government, but they don't implement. So what you're seeing now is the Barbies, their party, coming out and implementing some of the things that they were talking about.
Interesting perspective.
So we need both. And what the NDP member just said about the UA, I don't disagree. I disagree too. And that is a very, that's a political speech. A very one, right? The person that can deal with the family and get family back together, as you say, it take a community to raise a child, right? The government that can come in now and look at the family, and David Thompson, they're always also focusing in on that. That is the one that will actually, you could say then, doing something for the youth. Quite start right there inside the home. You
all
have
right.
A lovely day.
Thanks so much for your call. This is Dr. Brass Tax. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Ms. Gill.
Morning, sir.
Yeah, a couple of the things here. Really, the first thing, Ms. Gill, is that everybody has to have a plan. But he thinks he's putting that plan in reality. And I think this is the problem with both major political parties when it comes to concerning the outlay programs that they have for youth. Although sometimes they may save a couple of the youth, there's still the problem remains of a lot of these youth who have nothing to do daily but to just lay more the block, as Scotty is saying. The other thing is that I always heard the last call they're talking about press conferences. It's not a bad idea having press conferences, but let me remind him, a country that has 9 different type zones like Russia, that which if you put Barbies in Siberia, you will lose it. The president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, he holds a press conference, although he has press conferences, but he holds a major press conference, a marathon press conference, once every year for last 3 to 4 hours. And everybody in the world could call him, instead of asking questions, because a lot of people don't know Putin speaks things fluently, but it is a protocol that when you are representing your country, you speak in your language. No, this is where I get back to you now, Miss Lisa. Let's assume that you were a student and you listened to the press conference between David Ellis and the Prime Minister, the Right Honourable Mia Amor Marley. And I asked you, what do you think was the objectives that David Ellis said about to set out in that press conference?
You're asking me to answer?
He
sought to hear from the Prime Minister on some matters that the countries, including yourself and many other callers, some matters that were of particular import, and to get her to respond. She responded to some questions that you've asked me here at this mic. And I responded to you in my best way, and then she came and she was able to speak to the matter relative to Commission. I don't know if you remember speaking about that last week. You talked about the movement or the change to the Constitution. He raised that. He raised matters relative to the tax. He raised a little bit on the actual rural tax, which we dealt with. We talked about a little bit on NSRL, a little bit about the IMF and the actions. A couple questions were asked, and I thought that his questions represented a lot of the questions that Barbadians were asking.
Okay, I could agree with you to a certain extent, but okay. My main objective, if I was a DBS petitioner, I would most be thinking and concentrating on the management and the economy of Barbados and the position that we are right now at the present moment. So things like...
But whether, he did raise those.
But they were raised and they were just, you know, you just talk about for a minute or so and then went to something else. But I told my main objective would be economy. Okay. How are we going to take this country forward?
And she very articulately put that in, even if the question wasn't asked. If you're saying the question wasn't asked directly, she responded to that for all of Barbadians and those listening to hear about right now there are negotiations with the IMF.
We know that.
Right. So, and why we are there, she took us back to what were some of the challenges that we were facing.
We know we are aware of that.
Right. And then she also talked about why the need to suspend debt payments at the time and how critical it was simply because we had a payment that was coming up in June and it would have had a diverse impact on the existing reserves. She talked about that. So I'm trying to get you to understand what more you wanted her to speak on as it relates to the economy.
Yeah, I'll get back to that. I remember last year when President, is this year? When he was put into office? No, last year.
Which president?
The president of the United States.
Oh, President Trump, 2016.
Right, and there was having this conversation on the BBC. And I heard Dr. Andrew Chapman, who was once attached to the London School of Economics, say to the presenter of the show that, if possible, small developing countries should stay out of the hands of the IMF. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what the gentleman is saying?
Yeah, if we look historically at the IMF and its relationship with SOEs, if you want to call them small open economies, there hasn't been the greatest track record, and that's
right.
Why the IMF has left such a bitter taste on so many persons because of the historical experiences. If we look at Jamaica, who's been through several IMF programs,
right, 4% growth,
and if we look now at Grenada, who just came out of an IMF program, in this iteration they've done well. So there is what you call a previous IMF. And then at IMF, I don't know if you remember Joseph Stiglitz a couple of years ago talked about the failings of the Bretton Woods institutions. And he talked about their intention at the time. Of course, you know, they came out of the war. They were there to do, you know, reconstruct those large countries, not necessarily small countries. So, but they did do, as the end of last resort, they did do a little bit of work with smaller economies, but not having a good track record. Now, fast forward that a couple decades, a couple years later, this IMF has recognized that if it really wants to be treated seriously as a fair player in the international realm, it has to engage economies and countries with a far more, not necessarily developmental, but with a far more soft and not as rigid as, because I don't know if you remember the conditionalities that came with the varying loans across the region. The conditionalities led to significant fall off. A lot of the social and economic landscape was cut away. And a lot of people suffered as a result of the austerity that was brought upon them as a result of the IMF. So they've had to do a lot of rethinking. And I attended only yesterday the BCCI luncheon I attended, and I heard Motley made, I shouldn't call her Motley, made the Prime Minister, Prime Minister Motley make a very strong statement, and she said, while we are in these negotiations, this negotiation is not for the IMF, but it is for Barbados, and they are looking at putting these measures in place for the future development of the country. But, and I thought that was a very rich posture, because remember I said earlier, if there is no vision, the people will perish. And we have to have we have to have a clear agenda as to what is it we want. And I'm sure they have articulated they want to have a balanced budget. They may want to have a certain number of workers. They may want to make sure that the transfers are reduced. There are certain things that they have to go into these negotiations with in order for them to come out in a good place.
But you know, at the end of that all, you have to also, an important factor which a lot of people don't look at, and that is suffering of the people. And this has to be taken into account.
Right, which is why Sunday, I don't know if you heard when she said their intention, and she kind of brought it down to a very layman's term, their intention in all of this is that corned beef, which currently costs $4, they don't want corned beef to cost $8. So that they're considering the element of inflation. They are considering the impact on the small man. And that is why when you go into these negotiations, you have to go into these negotiations with a certain, you know, a gravitas or, you know, like, we need you, but this is what is on the table. Look at what you may not know, but in international negotiations and in trade policies, there's a term called the negative list. In other words, we ain't touching this. This remains sacrosanct to this country, and these are things that we are not budging on. So long as they're going with the negotiations agenda, you know, the agenda for Barbados in a way that is looking out for you and me, then they're going to do well. If they're going and they're just listening to what the IMF said, and the IMF said do three things, and you just do these three things without figuring out the impact on the small man, then the project is not going to work well. And you have anything else for me?
Yeah, yes, before you go, the last one, I'm glad that you asked me that question. Let me tell you this thing. Christianity and politics is a very strange thing, you know. Mm-hmm. I remember my cousin was telling me that when the gentleman that represented the parishes in Peter College, Jordan, was entering politics, the Milo LaQuarter branch of the 70s shirts, they accept what he did. Mm-hmm. But what happened is that some of the members of the other Sabbathian church is monitoring the situation. And my question to you before I go, Ms. Gere, let's presume that a piece of legislation was brought to Parliament which runs contrary to the Sabbathian ways of teaching. Mm-hmm. What would happen in a situation like that?
I think as a minister, he would have to indicate what his reservations are. And I suggest to him not to sign on to anything that goes contrary to his beliefs. And unfortunately, we've had a history where we've had people who said they don't agree with something, but they still signed. And there's nothing wrong with it. He can be sanctioned within the party, however, that's up to him. But he needs to either know whether he's first a Christian or whether he's first a politician. And if I know him well, he's first a Christian. And therefore, his beliefs should override any organization for which he's part of. This is Down to Brass Tacks.